Take it easy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you will.
Yeah, well, the dude abides.
I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the movie calendar. My name is Lee.
My name is Terrence.
And this week we're here to talk about The Big Lebowski, absolute cinematic icon of a film.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some cool quote to say at this point. I'm not going to do anything justice, so I will not say it, except I will say, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
No, we're very excited to talk about this film. This one has come highly suggested from some listeners and viewers. Mm-hmm. We have an incredible date for this one on the calendar already. So very excited to add this one for you to my good friend, Jay. We've got some amazing hashtag What About Whens as well. If it is your first time here, if you are subscribed to the religion that is dudism and you are checking this out, hello, welcome. We appreciate you, and we're going to do a little bit of talking around the things that you have. If you weren't aware, this film has its own religion that follows it, which came about a few years after. And we'll get into all of that, plus the characters and the writing, as well as we've got a section here called What Does It All Mean? Where we're going to try and figure it out.
Yes, and we will be speaking about this film as if you've seen it. There will be spoilers everywhere if you haven't seen it, so go watch it. You should go watch it anyway. But yes, what is it all about?
Yeah, so
that'll come later.
Full spoilers ahead. We've got links to all of our social medias down in the comments below. They're flashing up on the screen if you're here on YouTube. Otherwise, yeah, we are at The Movie Cal pretty much everywhere. And we've got time codes down there as well if you want to jump around to your favorite bit. But yeah, we're going to get straight into it before getting into our hashtag whataboutwhens and then adding the film to the calendar.
Did you say the email? themoviecal@gmail.com.
I said it was in the description.
Yeah, but people might not go descriptions. I don't do that all the time. You got to, on mobile devices, you got to tap an extra thing and see them.
If someone wants to send us an email, I'm sure that they can know where to find it.
Now they do, because I just said it. And we have a website on the internet, which is where websites are. themoviecalendar.com.
Yeah, look us up on your web browser of choice.
Yes, they're very affordable. You can get one anywhere. Lots of types. He's drinking, which means he's happy to let me just talk and flounder in my own silly words.
No, it's fun. That's what we're here for. We're all here for silly words. This film has so many silly words in it. We are going to do our best not to swear. We keep this kid-friendly as much as we can. If there are any, we will beep them out accordingly.
Yes. And I reckon there might be a couple of that are dropped. We have not been drinking White Russians at all. We did contemplate.
We thought about it.
Setting some White Russians up when the realization was that we didn't have any heavy brown dressing gowns.
Yeah, that was a sad moment. We got some great sunglasses, which you saw in the last episode of.
Sad moment. Do you mean it was a sad moment when we realized we don't have costumes?
Yeah, we should dress up for every episode. The budget's not high enough for that.
Oh, this could be a great idea. What a great development of this little thing that we're doing.
We will dress up, or I will dress up, for certain episodes and certain episodes only. And I've already done it. I've worn special shirts for Iron Man, and we did the Sunnies thing. And
there was dressing up. Oh, yeah. I have too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
You wore the dinosaur thing.
I wore the dinosaur thing for Jurassic Park.
That's
dinosaur
right.
I was like, Trogdor the Burninator.
I was like, what episode did you wear the dinosaur shirt for?
And it wasn't a dinosaur, it was a dragon. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
And I wore Superman in the Goonies.
Yes, you did. That was very good.
Yep. Partly because I forgot the actual really good, awesome, tangible meaning between Superman and the Goonies. Yeah, I'll say I forgot. I didn't forget. I knew.
No, you knew.
What it was. Yeah, I knew.
Everyone knows.
Thank you. But let's talk about this film.
Very excited to talk about The Big Lebowski. Now, full disclosure, I am not the biggest fan of the Coen brothers. I like a lot of their films, but not everything that they've done. They can be a bit odd for me.
Yeah, I was going to say a bit out there.
Yeah.
But I think that's their appeal.
Oh, definitely.
They write it so well.
Yeah.
Write it so well. I
can't wait to talk about their writing.
I had a quick look at some of the films that they've written. They've produced a lot, but I looked at the ones they've written, and then there are four or five that I've seen, but definitely a couple that are standouts. Fargo.
Amazing.
Absolutely. No Country for Old Men.
One of my favorites.
Brilliant. Also, I really enjoyed Burn After Reading and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That was really cool. Also had John Goodman in it. George Clooney. George Clooney's been in a couple of their films. He was in Hail Caesar was one.
Yeah.
But, you know, those four I remembered. And when you can remember a film off the top of your head, that was really cool. But at least a couple of those will be making an appearance on the calendar at some time or another, some point.
Yeah.
Or another, yes.
Yeah, very much so. I had a film of the Coen brothers, an interesting one. At least I think it's one of theirs. If it's not, I'll be very surprised. Called Lady Killers with Tom Hanks in it. I picked it up as a DVD in a bargain bin somewhere, which whether it belonged in there or not is open to interpretation. And it's such a weird movie. And I watched it so much. I don't know why. I really enjoyed the characters. I thought it was funny. This was like in my early 20s, late teens. And I just watched Lady Killers so much. Is it Coen Brothers?
Yep, The Lady Killers, 2004.
The Lady Killers. I think it was a remake of another film of the same name. But yeah, it was just super weird. And I was really into it. What's its rating on IMDb there?
6.2 okay. out of 10.
I think this the Big Lebowski, I think, is an 8.1. So in IMDb, people who rate things on there are quite harsh.
J.K. Simmons is in it.
Yes.
Tom Hanks. Marlon Wayans.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah,
eclectic cast, that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I would never... And I think the way you would describe Tom Hanks's character...
Yeah. Interesting yeah. accent, wow. say the least.
Wow.
Yeah, no, not like that. But we're going to be... Yeah, we're going to get into the characters of the Big Lebowski and, yeah, the yep. writing and what does it all mean and... Yeah, it's crazy. If you haven't seen the film, it's an absolute recommend. Try and find it on a streaming service or rent it or buy it. If you are subscribed to the movie calendar and you're going to be watching the films at some point from January 1st to December 31st, then you're probably going to want to own the films anyway. I own this one. It's absolutely well worth it. If you haven't seen it and you still want to hang out with us for the discussion, that is absolutely fine. I'll give mm-hmm. you a brief overview as to what the plot is. Otherwise, what we're saying will probably make no sense whatsoever because this film honestly doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's so odd. So what's the film about, Terrence? Go.
It's about a guy, a man.
Sometimes there's a man.
And
it's a case of mistaken identity.
I lost my train of thought. Yeah. That's what I was ramping up to.
Yeah. It's a case
you didn't
of,
even let me.
There's a case of mistaken identity and this character called the Dude, who is a lazy early 90s Los Angeles
bum
essentially, gets mistaken for a millionaire and these people are looking for money and they pee on his rug and he just goes on a mission to get his rug back because it really ties the room together.
He gets muddled up in this fiasco.
Yeah.
And at the end, it's like, well, was any of that necessary?
Yeah. There's a great quote by one of the directors, and I wrote it down and then paraphrased it for the purposes of this when we get to talking about the writing discussion. But he says, it is a hopelessly complex plot that is ultimately unimportant. And I couldn't agree more.
At the end of this, you're sitting there going, hang on a second. There were so many metaphors to life. There were so many things in this worth revisiting and trying to make sense of in a reality that we are aware of. And it's very difficult to do just that.
Yeah. This is why we're doing a section called What Does It All Mean? Because it is just... it's the most, like, on-the-surface, weird film as well as, like... It has the potential to be incredibly deep and well thought out. And I don't know where I sit on it, whether it is that deep or whether it's just, no, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, let's get into it after. So we'll do, because we're talking about the writing as well as what it all means. I have a feeling that'll kind of blend in to each other anyway.
Everything's going to blend here.
But
like
which character?
Like a good Caucasian or a good white Russian.
I'm glad you finished up with a good white Russian. It's very weird when he starts talking about the Caucasian. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, man? It's a drink.
It's his other name for white Russian. Characters. Who should we start with in this film?
Oh, sometimes I don't start with the main character, like I didn't want to for Spider-Man, but this one, yeah, we'll start with the dude himself.
Even though this film is not named after him.
No, we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, the dude El Deuterino.
For those who don't like brevity.
Yeah, played by the incredible Jeff Bridges, who they didn't really, the Coens didn't really have anyone in mind when they were writing the film for this character. They did for a bunch of other people, but not for the dude. And then when it was, the idea was floated that it was to be Jeff Bridges, it was so perfect. They couldn't imagine anyone else. So
wow.
Away they went on that train of thought. Cool. So much so that when he was reading the script, when Jeff was reading the script, he's like, did you hang out with me in high school? Like this dude is me. Like it's so me. And he's a lazy bum who just coasts through life.
Yeah.
Seems to have it all figured out.
Well, he does, doesn't he? Because nothing that matters to other people matters to him in terms of the level of importance that people put on things, including material possessions.
Yeah.
Except for one.
Is he a pacifist?
Amazing rug. I would imagine he would be.
He refers to himself as a pacifist, I think.
Does he?
I think so.
He talks about someone else being a pacifist.
Right.
The other bowling, the competitor.
Smokey.
Smokey is a pacifist. And he's messed up. And he's fragile. Does he call him fragile?
Yeah. I did not know that.
But I would say the dude is a pacifist, but he doesn't abide by I don't use that word lightly, by any formal sort of recognized way to live.
Yep.
So yeah. I could say he is a pacifist, but I don't think he defines himself as one.
Yeah. He doesn't care too much for social norms and fitting into a societal structure of any kind. It doesn't benefit him.
He just cares about being the dude.
Him. Yep. He just wants to be the dude. He wants to smoke weed and drink
white Russians
and go bowling with his mates.
And the first scene that you see him in just epitomizes it so well.
It's set up brilliantly.
He only does two things. He goes shopping for milk, and he pays for milk.
And you know, you learn everything you need to know about the character in this beautiful little beat.
Man, it is just priceless.
Yeah, going up to the register.
Shopping.
He's got the milk mustache on his actual mustache. Yeah, because he took a swig of milk in the supermarket to check if it was okay. And then he pays for it 69 cents with a check.
That's the thing that's very American, right? Here, you don't pay with checks. Anywhere, really. I mean, we stopped doing that as a nation, I think, 10, 15 years ago anyway.
Or more than
20 years ago.
Probably 10 years before this.
Holy moly. Just
30, 40 years ago.
I hear it's quite commonplace. Maybe not anymore right now. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's just hilarious for under a dollar for 69 cents.
It's also the date. Just unbelievable. The date that he puts on the check is actually like over a year after the actual date that it is in the film. Which just goes to show how poor he is. Because he dates the check for 1992, but the film is set in 1991.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, so it's like that's how much of a loser and a bum he is. That he's like...
By the time they cash this,
yeah,
I should have it.
I should have 69 cents.
Just that the first shot when he's walking right down the aisle perusing the milk in the garb that he wears. Just, and I also thought, geez, how many milks do they have over there? That was nuts.
So many.
It's like a kilometre, 1.6 miles for our US viewers, of milk
options. Other way around.
1.6 miles. Yeah, it's a thing. They know that I meant that, the right thing. 1.6
Just make it the kilometers, correct one.
1.6 kilometres every mile. Yeah, make it right.
So how long is
it? You know what I meant? 1,600 metres in a mile, right?
Yes.
See, that's what I said.
So 1 kilometer is how many miles?
Rewind it. 1 kilometer is how many miles? Oh, it's point.
Exactly. So yeah, okay. It's not 1.6 miles.
Oh, yeah.
You see what you did now?
My math's good.
Yeah. We should not do math.
But now he opens it. Yes. And paying. That's the dude. All right. Good. We've done that.
No, we've got to keep talking about Jeff Lebowski. That Jeff Lebowski.
Jeff Lebowski.
We're going to talk about the dude still.
The dude, all right. So we are introduced to him in a beautiful way.
Yep.
And then we're introduced to the way that his life changes so abruptly.
Yeah.
But he's, I think this is the next bit where we see so much of him. It's how he responds to this violence.
Yeah. That is my number one. Well, one of my ones for What About When. Yeah. When he gets, you know, assaulted in his home and straight into the toilet. Where's the money, Lebowski?
And his retort.
And he's like, oh, it's down there somewhere. I'm going to have another look. Straight back into the toilet.
So good. I think at that moment, I was like, you go in there thinking, this guy's a loser. And he gets taken and beaten. And you think, oh, no, he's done something stupid as well. And then you're like, oh, yeah. No, I love looking, this guy.
Yeah, they're looking for someone else. But yeah, just his like whole outlook on life and his ethos, his inner ethos that he just has of just coast, man. Just relax. Like everything's gonna be all right and
things are gonna happen.
Like don't even try to succeed because you just end up failing. And it's a pretty terrible way to kind of.
Do you think it's a defeatist attitude?
I don't know. I'm torn about it all.
I don't know if that's his thinking. Don't even try because you won't succeed.
Yeah. Maybe I'm bringing that to the table.
You are, because he's not looking for success.
Maybe I'm projecting.
Ooh, look at this. How many kilometers in a mile?
not enough.
Let me put that to you. I think you may be putting that in on the table. I don't know how to say it right. Yeah. He has no expectations and he doesn't strive. He just wants to make sure he can smoke and drink and bowl.
Yep.
That's it. And his life gets disrupted.
The important things in his life. Well, we never, and fun fact for the readers at home, you never actually see him bowl. He does not take a ball and throw it down a single lane in the entirety of the film.
He doesn't even ever touch a bowling ball, does he?
Well, he does. He's holding one in the beginning when he walks into his apartment. And he picks one up in the fantasy sequence when he gives Maud the ball. But yeah, otherwise he doesn't. He's not seen bowling whatsoever.
Well, he doesn't give Maud the ball. Yeah. She takes it.
No, he picks it up and gives it to her.
Really? I thought he puts his fingers into...
Her fingers. Doesn't matter.
He puts her fingers.
It's a fantasy sequence anyway, so it doesn't really count.
What a great sequence. But yes, more of that later. All right. So we never see him bowl.
Yep. You know, he loves it so much.
We only see him drink something other than... No, I was going to say other than a White Russian when he's bowling. He drinks beer. But he drinks when he's in the car as well. When he's drinking and he drops his little roach.
He does that squeal. It goes between his legs.
And then he just pours the beer.
It's like, oh man, I've been there.
Cool himself down. You've been there? Drinking and smoking while you're driving.
Don't smoke or drink
in the car, kids.
No, nothing like that.
That's hilarious. The squeal he gives. Sorry.
Yeah, I think the character is just so well realized, and it's a testament to the performance of Jeff Bridges. And I think anyone who kind of looks at it as, oh, he's just playing himself, it's doing it a real disservice to look at it and not know how incredible it is. Whilst, yes, the character is very much like he used to be and was as a person, he's still a brilliant actor, and I don't want to take anything away from it. So I just want to say for the record that I think his performance as this character, the dude, is just wonderful and up there with some of the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What a slob.
Also, yeah, he's like,
so good.
The wardrobe that he wears as well is mostly his own clothes. Like, it's Jeff Bridges' wardrobe for the most part.
I reckon if Crocs were invented back then, he would have been wearing Crocs. I think he was wearing gel sandals.
He was, at one stage. Jelly sandals. Like, Which apparently they are his. They are his shoes. And he still owns them and still wears them, which is ridiculous. But no, we should move on.
Good breathability, except for when you sweat in them.
Yeah, when you're just mushing around in your own bodily fluids. Who would you like to talk about next?
Well,
we've got a few. We've got Walter.
Yeah.
We've got the Big Lebowski himself, Maud, the Stranger, and Brandt.
Yeah, okay. All right. There are lots of others as well, but they'll get dropped in while we talk. Well, let's go to Walter then.
Yeah, right.
Walter, the non-pacifist. Man.
I'm so conflicted about Walter because I love his character for entertainment value, but it's just, there's just a a horrifying aspect to his mentality that is genuinely scary.
Well, he is a loose cannon, right? Yep. He is not altogether there.
No.
He has issues.
Very much so.
And he is, wouldn't you say these two balance each other beautifully?
I mean, yeah, kind of.
We got the ultimate don't care about anything, and Walter just thinks everything is the biggest issue in the world. Everything gets him fired up.
Yeah, conflates every little thing.
Yeah.
Over the line!
How bad can it be? He's going to yell at me. No, he's going to get a pistol out. It's a pistol? A shotgun.
It's a bazooka.
He gets out a hand bazooka.
Put down the piece, man. They're calling the cops. It's a league game, Smokey. Mark at zero.
It's a league game. They're calling the cops. He's just so chill. Yeah.
Calling the cops, man.
He's just so chill. How did they get out of there?
Well, they finished the game. And did you see the cops turned up later?
Yeah. They're in the car. So yeah. How did they get in the car? I guess they're just going to let them walk out.
Yeah, they finished the... No, the cops came after that.
Yeah.
So there was
but
no
they're sitting in
there.
The car.
Yeah. So they finished the game. They went to the car. They sat down. They were talking about it. And the dude's sort of yelling at him, being like, "What? You need to just like be calm, man. Like, what is with like flying the gun around? Like, what is that?" And he's just like, calmer than you are. calmer than you are, dude.
I kept looking in the background because you could see the cops.
You see the cop lights come
in the back. Yeah. And you see them get out of the car and run into the bowling alley.
Yeah, missed them.
Where is the manager of the bowling alley standing at the door going, there they are. Hurry up, dude. Drive.
Nah, they're fine. They've got luck on their side.
Yeah.
God.
So he's a Vietnam vet.
Yes. Well, maybe.
Right.
Well, I read a piece of trivia that apparently in the original script, there was a line that says that he wasn't. Like, he didn't even go to Vietnam. He said he was drafted, but... he never actually went or didn't go into the areas that he talks about, at least. So but that was cut from the film. So whether he did or didn't is open for interpretation. So I'll let you determine that. I don't think he went to Vietnam.
Maybe he had an injury that he is embarrassed about and has to fake that he went there to people so he doesn't lose face. And he's so angry about that. This is his, what's it called? His projecting of that.
Yeah.
And it comes out in everything.
Yeah. Like he needs some counseling. He turns everything in his life that comes up as like into a struggle, he turns it into a Vietnam reference.
God, it's hilarious. And he's just so over the top. Guns out, crowbar smashing cars.
See what happens, Larry.
One thing, that scene annoyed me. It just irked me. I'm like, oh, no, don't do it. This is silly. Sometimes things like that happen in film. And I'm like, no, they didn't have to do that with this character. Why? But he actually is apologetic to the owner of the car. He's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I noticed that. I thought, oh.
Walter has these kind of sweet moments like that.
Of course, yeah.
And when they're sending Donnie's ashes out over the sea. God, that speech is just horrible. and yeah, he throws the ashes and the wind goes and it gets in the dude's face. And he is genuinely apologetic and feels sorry. And he's also sad that he lost his friend. Like there was a genuine care there, as much as you it does not look like he cares about Donnie at all during the entirety of the film, and we'll get to that in a little bit as well.
Yeah, but it's the only time that character has a chance to share his grief with someone else that understands him. And it was really nice to see. That was quite a beautiful moment where I think as an audience member, I was anyway, I kept going, come on, hug him, dude. Hug him.
Yeah.
Please, he wants a hug.
And like there's a moment where the dude like is so angry in that moment where he kind of lifts up his arms like he's going to like hit him on the chest, like not punch him, but just like give him a little shove. And when he lifts his arms up like this, Walter like holds his hands out. Like he goes for the hug and then he realizes that that's not what he's going for. So he puts his arms back down behind his, like by his sides. Yeah. It's so sad.
That's where and his head kind of goes down.
Yeah. Oh, right? Like a child, there. Giant man child.
And you see the shot of the two of them side by side in front of each other where Jeff, the dude is down the rock, he's lower.
Yeah,
he's lower, and John Goodman, who's already a man mountain,
huge,
is even taller towards him.
Yeah, but he's so little in that scene, metaphorically.
So it's
spiritually.
So it shows this nice depth to the character. At least he's not just an angry so-and-so who has lost his wife as well,
yep.
who is divorced, who still is...
And he's massive issues feeling about
that. Obliged to help her out with whatever his guilt is, you know.
It's a show dog, you know? Dude. I can't board it. It'll lose its hair.
My God. So
it's got papers.
You know, what's funny is when they walk out of there, they just leave the dog. Oh, that's the dog. That's the gun scene, isn't it? The dog's just yapping, following them behind.
Market zero.
He's a cool character. I do wonder why the dude hangs out with him. I mean, they're bowling partners, but...
Yeah, I don't know. They're probably friends before.
Do we ever see Walter bowl?
Oh, I don't know. I can't think of a time that we do.
Yeah, I don't think so either. We just see Donnie bowl.
Yeah. Yes, and every time Donnie bowls, he gets a strike.
Except
for the last one.
Mm.
Right before he dies.
It's called...
Sad for Donnie.
The death bowl. Bowl. Blow. Yeah. Death.
No, it's... I don't know. I'm what trying you're to trying coin to do a new there.
Phrase here.
Nah.
The death bowl. Flick the L and the W.
But the title of the film is The Big Lebowski, and it doesn't refer to the dude whose name is Jeffrey Lebowski.
Yeah.
It is named after Jeffrey Lebowski, or Mr. Lebowski, who is the head of a charity, and, you know, he's had lots of children that he's helped bring up to go to college, his young urban achievers.
Little Lebowskis.
He's got the key to Pasadena, and he's met with, is it Nancy Reagan? Nancy
Reagan, yeah. during
the presidency, Mr. Reagan was... Oh, don't touch that. Yeah, so the
big... We'll get to that.
The Big Lebowski himself. It was a fun performance. I think that actor could probably have been interchangeable with a few different people.
Mm.
In fact, I read that was written for Marlon Brando.
Ooh.
Purely because the Coens wanted to hear Marlon Brando say the line, some men do cry. Some men do cry. And with Brand in the background just holding his tears back. That would have been amazing for him to play that role. But no, it was a good enough performance. And
it was all right.
And a yeah.
It was a good performance.
A nice motivating character.
Yeah, he's quite evil. He's a nasty man.
Yeah, you need a villain of the story.
Yeah.
And he was a pretty good one.
Yeah. I when he's in front of the fireplace talking about what makes a man, is that what he says?
Yeah.
What makes a man, he goes, I don't know, balls, is what he says?
Yeah, that testicles. Yeah, it's like, is it the willingness to do something when no one else will? And the dude's like, yeah, all that and a pair of testicles. Which is not very modern of you, dude. I mean, that's not what constitutes being a man. But sure, whatever.
Yeah, true.
Yep.
This was in the 90s.
Exactly.
And he was probably drunk.
Yeah,
and was very high. And not thinking and just saying what was on his tongue.
I would say that the dude now would be more sort of up to date with all of the the cultural references and things and the normal behavior.
He'd be more, what's the word?
Woke.
More woke. Look at that. I know what that means.
He'd be woke. He'd know what pronouns to use and
probably. He wouldn't make a big deal out of that's the other thing. Would he Yeah, he has respect.
Massive respect, yeah.
He has respect. Yeah. So he wouldn't make a big deal out of it, but he would just do it right.
Yeah, he'd be like, he'd say it's some wrong, and he'd get corrected, and he'd go, oh, sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, because he has a good memory.
Yeah.
Right?
Which he uses a lot because he just parrots everyone else in the film. Because
he's got no ability to make his own words anymore.
Yeah. So he just parrots everybody else in the film. Yeah. He has so many lines in the movie where he's just mirroring somebody else's from previously heard, which is great.
Attempting to mirror other people's.
Well, while we were talking about The Big Lebowski, his right-hand person, Brandt, played by the incredible Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, yeah.
And like this guy's got some incredible performances out there, and I'm sure we will be talking about him again at some point on the calendar. But this is such a good piece of acting from him, and so young in his career as well.
Again, in his opening scene, well, I say again because all the opening scenes of these characters are amazing. but that which you alluded to before when he's explaining all the awards on the wall,
yeah.
he never gets to finish one explanation.
No, he's so proud never. Of them all as well, but the dude just moves through them so quickly. Like, this is the key to Pasadena and where he got it for. Those are Mr. Lebowski's urban achievers. They're his children of different mothers. not his literal children, no.
He says it with such pomp as well. Yeah. So he's rehearsed each one. He knows the full history. He knows he's got his script.
Yeah.
And the dude would not let him finish one.
He did actually, Mr. Lebowski did actually meet with the president. However, there wasn't time don't touch that, sir. Please. Thank you.
He's so good. But he, like, how complicit is he in the big Lebowski's plan? So he is probably just as evil.
He would have known, yeah.
Yeah.
From the start.
Total false fake, which we know, and this is, again, his performance is amazing, because in that scene with the fireplace, what constitutes a man, and he's crying in the background and he all of a sudden
immediately, you know,
give him the thing.
yeah. Give him the note.
So, like, these two are like Tweedledum and Tweedledee trying to hatch an evil plot.
I really like one of my favorite moments with him as a character for Brandt is when we meet Bunny for the first time and she's out painting her toenails.
I was wondering how we're going to mention this, because we do want to keep things kid friendly.
I don't know how we're going to do this, but
love that scene.
When
that
she
quote.
Says, when she extends a very gracious offer to the dude
to do some work for $1,000 in payment.
Yeah, some work. And Brandt's reaction of just that. We love her spirit.
Yes,
Brad can't watch though, otherwise he'll owe me $100.
He has to pay $100. He's laughing.
Ah, so you're Bunny. Yeah, I'm just gonna go to the cash machine.
As he's getting dragged out, looking back. Yeah,
we got around that, all right.
I love also the dude's swagger. So he's walking out and sees Bunny and just makes a beeline toward her as well.
Yeah, straight. He's like, hi. He doesn't care. He's like,
you probably still got spoiled milk in your moustache.
You're wearing a bathrobe and sandals. Hitting on this young woman.
Oh, he's not carrying the rug, is he? Someone else from the house is carrying it.
How did your meeting go, Mr. Lebowski? Great. The old man said I could take any rug in the house.
That might appear. That's going to come back later on today too.
So funny.
Brilliant line. Thinking on his feet.
Very much
He's
so.
He's very, very smart, very astute, very witty, very funny.
Yeah, so that's Brandt. I love it. We also meet Julianne Moore's Maud Lebowski, who's the daughter of the big Lebowski.
What on earth is that accent?
I love it so much.
What is it? Talk about pompous.
It's like a robot, like a feminist, like early 90s feminist robot. And I'm all on board for it.
Feminist,
she's so good.
She sounds like a feminist, does she? What is that accent?
She is a feminist.
Yeah, but how does a feminist sound? Just, there's this air of arrogant significance that every word has.
Yeah, it's like
that's how she speaks.
Like an artist who just thinks so much of themselves,
so entitled extremely so important and relevant to the world.
I love the way that she speaks. I think it's so much fun.
Oh, it's a lot of
hello, fun. Mr. Lebowski.
Yeah, it's almost like a dated, like you could,
like a 30s.
Yeah.
Make sure you go and see the doctor. He's very good and thorough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See him, Lebowski.
Also a little bit of an evil person, right? She's got her own motives. She's an opportunist.
Yeah, she actually does something trappy that is not...
Horrible.
Not
horrific.
Okay. Yeah, no. Like, he was consensual for the first part, but then that was not... It ended up being okay, but there was a little bit of a problematic thing happening there.
Did
not
it become
okay.
Was it okay?
No, it wasn't. No, you do not do that.
No. And the dude, well, she picked her victim appropriately. She knew he wasn't going to fight back.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, well, there's something you need to know about the dude. And it's like, don't worry, I'm not looking for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, she, like, obviously she didn't know what was happening with the plan, but she had her own thoughts where the wife gets kidnapped and she's like, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's utterly ridiculous. Mm-hmm. She's just trying to get some money we've learned that the Big Lebowski has no money at all. Mm. It's all, she has everything. The mother left it all to her. And she gives him an allowance, which is considerable. But yeah, so it's all set up so that he can try and steal some of the foundation's money back for himself.
What an entrance as well. Can you imagine her reading her role? Oh, we think you'd be good for this. Can you read? A woman chanting flies in naked on a flying fox.
Swishing paint through the sky onto a canvas.
Screaming unintelligible words over the top of a man. Come off, de-harness, and then speak about body parts.
Does the female form make you uncomfortable, Mr. Lebowski?
That's a great... Oh, I'll take it. Give me this role. Sign me up.
Yeah, that would have been a lot of
fun. Very cool.
A lot of fun for her, I'd imagine. I'd love to see an interview with her where she talks about it, I think. I think she would have had a great time.
That'd be awesome. I love watching her in things. I like... what have I recently been watching? 30 Rock.
Oh.
And she does a few episodes with Alec Baldwin, and really, really nice character. Really cool cool role that she plays in that too.
But that's fun.
I've liked her in everything I've watched, and she's so diverse as well.
Oh yeah, she can do anything. She's such a good actor.
Yeah.
The last one that we have to talk about for the characters is the stranger, the drifter, the cowboy.
Sam Elliott. Man, mo in the biz.
Absolutely the best mustache in the business. Like, how much, like, did you get like a bit of an inferiority complex watching this film?
Skip ahead.
we're gonna cut this bit out. Oh no.
Press the skip ahead 15 seconds.
I've hit a nerve here.
Woo, Lee, there's something I've got to tell you here.
I come back with a black eye. I'll never say it again.
He used to be clean shaven. He followed me on Facebook one time.
Right.
And here we saw a little bit of my growth that I was starting back when I was in 20s. And he went, wow, look at that. I want to try some of that. And I would shave every now and then. And he never did. That's the only reason he overtook me.
It is absolutely the best mustache
so in
the
business.
I think it only rivaled by... There is a great mustache in The Hateful Eight by Kurt Russell. It is like... It's very up there as an amazing mustache. But you can't beat Sam Elliott. It's good. No one can. And no one ever will.
It's like a fat caterpillar.
Literally.
What's a cat that has a really bushy tail?
I'm not a cat person.
The Burmese, one of them?
Sure.
In Australia, we have a couple of possums. We have a ring-tailed possum. It's a very wiry tail that curls. And we have a brush-tailed possum. Google Images, do a search on that, on the brush-tailed possum. It's like he has a brush-tailed possum's tail across his face.
Sure. Or just a glorious mustache that he grew himself.
You could also say that.
Yeah. One would.
I actually read a little tidbit that in the... Did I read it? You didn't tell me this. I think they had to... They did some ADR on his bits when he was on camera, which was re-recording the voice. And because of his moustache going so far over his mouth, it was not problematic that he was out of sync with some things or even a word was different.
Because you couldn't see his lips moving.
Yeah.
That's so... No, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep.
That makes sense.
There you go.
Just another reason to have a glorious mustache when you're appearing on film.
You can say whatever you want.
Makes ADR easier. But no, he's such a cool character. So we get introduced to him very early. Like he's the first voice we hear. He's the narrator, right? Yeah,
he's the narrator.
He's credited as the stranger, but he narrates the film. He talks to the audience as well at the end. He looks straight to the camera. So,
fourth wall.
It's going to...
Breaking it.
Talking about this character is going to lead us really well into...
writing,
I guess, like the meaning of it all, the writing. But no, there's not much else to say other than he swaggers in. He's the coolest cat in town, and we've got the dude here, so that's a big call in this world. And yeah, he has a really nice chat with the dude. Tells him that he wishes he didn't swear so much.
It's with all the cussing.
Yeah, and I just wish he didn't. Yeah, wish he didn't swear so
much. And his retort.
Yeah,
what?
So good.
That was good. I like how magically appears.
Yep.
Each time, just magically appears, right?
And the tumbleweed song that introduces him.
Oh, how good is the music?
Yeah, the music is incredible.
Oh, so good.
We've done a couple of good weeks of music films.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, this is definitely one of them.
I mean, Pulp Fiction. How good was that? Pulp. Guardians of the Galaxy. Reservoir Dogs. So many. Yeah. Blues Brothers.
Love music and film, apparently.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The tumbleweeds. You know, one thing I really love that also set the tone for the film, not just the dude's entrance, the milk and the paying and the smart ass comment down the toilet, but how, as the narrator, when he's doing this, sometimes there's a guy. Yeah. How many times did he say that? Yeah. Those little words, but he loses his train of thought. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Never heard that. I was trying to do that at the beginning of the episode.
I'll have to go back and listen. I didn't pick up on it at all.
It wasn't that good, but I tried it. But I had to double take.
He says, sometimes there's a man, and not necessarily meaning a hero, but sometimes there's a man. And I'm talking about the dude here, but sometimes there's a man, sometimes there's a man. And then that's how we get introduced to him.
And then after he says that, he goes, wow, I lost my train of thought here. Oh, hell, I done introduced him enough.
Yeah.
So good. His words are so refined.
Yeah.
Everything that comes out of his mouth.
It's perfect.
I just did a little pop noise with my mouth.
Yeah.
On purpose. I don't know why.
Chef's just kiss.
Gobsmacked. It ends with him, right?
Yeah. And again, that character was written for him.
Ugh.
Like, with him in mind. You can't get anyone else.
Anything he's in. I got a friend who loves him. He's like the best voice, best actor ever. Anything he's in is gold. He's in Parks and Recreation as well.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a really nice scene in one of my favorite independent films called Thank You for Smoking.
Yes.
Aaron
Eckhart. I love that. Oh, look, with a discovery. We've spoken about many, 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 many films.
Haven't spoken about that one before.
No.
Yeah, that's a really good one. So he plays the Marlboro man.
Yeah.
And that's
so right.
Good. I never even used to smoke Marlboro. Man. Yeah.
I love Aaron Eckhart.
He is fantastic.
That was the film that made me realize who he was and how good he was.
Mine was Aaron Brockovich.
Was he in that too?
Yeah, he's the big mustache biker.
Are you talking about Aaron Eckhart?
Aaron Eckhart.
Oh, okay, because we're talking about mustaches and Sam Elliott. Okay, all right. Anyway, we're going.
We're going to talk about Aaron Eckhart probably pretty soon on the movie calendar in a film where he plays a small
role. A character, don't give it away.
I'm not going to. It's fine. But yeah, he's so good. And yeah, written incredibly, not like this show. He is written incredibly well.
Yeah.
Which is, leads us really nicely into the writing of the film, which is just so weird. I can't think of any other way to describe it.
I think every character is written as such a separate piece.
Yeah, like, you know? It feels like it's almost like a TV show where sometimes a lot of the characters are written by different writers to have different voices.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like that.
Donnie is a great example of this, right? It's like Donnie and Walter. Lee just told me before, he said the dude hardly talks to Donnie. Just
twice.
Two times.
He
references him or
yeah, twice only. And once it was right at the beginning. The other one is when he's walking away with the phone. The only two times that he acknowledges Donnie's existence at all.
That's crazy, because you think the dude's a really nice guy and then you realize that and I'm thinking, wait. But then you realize every time Donnie does say something, the conversations that Donnie is always chiming in on are so abruptly cut off by Walter.
Yeah.
Walter being Walter. Something happens, the dude asks a question, Donnie gets it totally out of context. What's the line?
Oh, shut up, Donnie, you're out of your element.
And he gets shut down, and before the dude could even say anything, even if he wanted to, Walter's back in with his 10 cents.
But like, and Donnie is also a character who doesn't really pay attention as well too much in the conversation. So he'll kind of be like doing his thing, and then he'll jump in and be like, oh yeah, how did that go, dude? And Walter is just, you can tell that it's just been so many years of this that he's just so sick of it. So that every time that Donnie opens his mouth, it's like a Pavlovian response. He's just instantly met with just vitriol and negativity. It's just, shut up, Donnie, you're out of your goddamn element.
I have to say it, I'm going to beep it. Donnie, shut the f*** up.
You're out of your f- element, Donnie.
That it is so... once the gate's open, quick, let him out. So I can beep him.
Do them all at once.
They're great. And the fact that he says them so many times, and he has such vitriol with it.
Yeah.
So
to the point where, like, when Donnie says something that Walter is actually interested in, where he's like, oh, we made the we made the semis. And he's like, Donnie, shit. Oh, when are they?
Yeah, it's a Pavlovian response.
Yeah.
Donnie's mouth opens. I must scream abuse at him.
There's like little moments as well where Walter doesn't say anything, but you can see it still on his face where he'll just... And it like he'll breathe in and his eyes go up into the sky and he's just like, oh.
And this is one of the things I love John Goodman for. How good he is with that.
Yeah,
with
subtlety.
Conveying his emotion with his expression. That's what a great actor does. But
body language.
He's so good with this. He's so good.
Says so much without saying anything, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that is all the character. Like, that's written. Like,
oh, yeah.
From the research that I did, I found out that the script for this film was, and very much like a Tarantino script, once it was written, there was no rewrites done. It's pretty much word perfect from the page to the screen. There's only one instance of a character saying something in the film that wasn't scripted, and it was an ad-lib line by Jeff Bridges where he calls the Big Lebowski a human paraquat.
Yeah.
It was the only line that wasn't written in the script. And in fact, so much so that Jeff Bridges, who hadn't worked with the Coens before, went up to John Goodman and was like midway through filming, and was like, when are we going to get our rewrites? Because he's so used to like the writers changing things and being like, oh, we're going to move in this way now. Mm. And John was just like, oh no, no, you don't rewrite a Coen script. Once it's ready to shoot, it doesn't get touched.
Wow.
And like to the point where even all of the, you know,
the stammerings, the man, and Donnie,
and like every one of those was written.
Wow.
Yeah.
The little, what would you call them? Expressive vocalizations.
Yeah. Like, that's just your opinion, man. Like, would have was written just like that. But just, it sounds so natural from these actors.
It's almost as if they've written for them, the same way Tarantino would write for each of his actors.
Exactly, yeah.
Just saying, oh, you said it. Did you know me when I was in high school? Did you follow me around? Because he's, especially with the dude, he says so many half sentences. To be able to read that and even follow the script and read it and go, what am I trying to say here?
Yeah, it would have been so hard.
But so fun to be able to vocalize it in your head and go, this is awesome. Look at that. Yes. That's so cool. I was going to bring up a Donnie comment, one that I really love, where he does always come in and just doesn't get the concept or totally misunderstands the idea. Walter talks about Lennon. Is it Walter that talks about Lennon? No.
Lebowski
dude talks Lennon, about Lennon.
And he thinks that he's referencing John Lennon.
He goes, oh, I'm the walrus.
It's like random. I think I'm just
they ignore him. And I'm like, yeah, shut up. Oh, Walter didn't yell at you. Good. Don't say anything anymore because that was ridiculous. And then he does it again.
Yeah. And then Walter just jumps straight in.
I think he says it three times. I'm the walrus.
I am the walrus.
He's really trying to let people know.
Not that Lennon, Donnie.
Poor Donnie.
Yeah.
Poor Donnie. I wonder what his backstory is. We're not here to discuss that, but that poor kid has some really weird backstory.
Yeah. Again, whilst you could see it as a small role, was it written for Steve Buscemi.
Oh, really?
Yep. With him in mind. Yeah.
98, this was filmed, right?
Yeah. He was also in Fargo.
Oh, was he?
Yep.
Man, it's been so long since I've seen
it. Give it a watch. I haven't seen it for years. I think I watched it in high school.
So was one of the nihilists.
Yes. It's those two together.
Oh, they're the two.
They're the two, two in guys. The diner, okay. Yeah.
All right, yep. I can't remember his name. Peter Strom.
I'll find it.
But I've seen him in... there's a show... Swedish Dicks. It's incredible. Swedish, and he's a private eye, and he's got his awesome thick accent that he's so well known for.
That's fun.
Brilliant.
But yeah, again, going back to the Coen brothers quote that I said at the beginning about the writing, I paraphrased it because I wrote this down in the writing before I found the quote. And it's a story that is incredibly complex that ultimately leads us on a road to nowhere. Because the characters don't really learn anything. They don't change. The dude is exactly the same at the beginning of the film as what he is at the end. He hasn't gained anything. He didn't get any money. Nothing. He doesn't have his rug back. he even says it himself. He's like, if I could have just been happy with a pea-stained rug and not done anything, and now I'm just entered in this whole world. And at the end of it, Donnie ends up dying, and they're just like, oh, well, let's just go bowling.
Sometimes you eat the bar,
and sometimes the bear eats you.
And he doesn't finish the quote, right? And sometimes,
hey, man. Two oat sodas, please.
Peter Stormare. I'm totally saying that wrong because I think he's Swedish. Sorry about the pronunciation. Yes, he's from a country where different letters put together are said in different ways to in English, probably.
But no, I think the Coens were able to capture laziness so well in the writing.
Yeah,
the dude is just such a perfectly well-crafted character.
Just make him drink a milky drink.
Yeah.
Milky beverages don't go well for mustachioed people.
It looks funny on screen, though.
That's why the Stranger's character only drank sarsaparilla from a bottle.
Yeah.
Drinking from a bottle is very clean.
He sucks it off his mustache. He still does?
Damn it.
Yeah. Takes a big sip and he's like, that's a good sarsaparilla.
We know the plight.
Yeah.
Soups are dangerous.
Been there.
It's a dangerous man's game. He dribbles it everywhere. He's always walking with the glass.
Like you before we started recording, when you were trying to make a joke and I made a joke.
I took a big drink. I was going to start the episode. I was going to joke with Lee that we were going to start and I was going to get a big gob of water in my moustache.
Put it in his mouth and I pretended to start the show and he spat it all down his face.
I was not ready. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good outtake.
It would have been good to put in, but too much rubbish happened after that.
we might put it at the end.
No, we won't. Fun. I don't know. Let's keep going. What are we talking
about? We were talking about The Stranger, which is a really good segue into the meaning of it all.
Oh, we already did that.
Not really. We haven't talked about the metaphors between different kind of religions and stuff. And like there is just...
Oh my God.
There's so much talk online about how there's parallels between this and Catholicism and Christianity, where like the stranger that we meet in the bowling alley, is supposed to be God. The dude is Jesus. Maud is Mary Magdalene. The devil is the Big Lebowski, and just extrapolate it from
there. Who is Jesus?
The character of Jesus. I don't know. He's a false prophet.
Yes, a false prophet. He's another idol.
Yep.
And I love his line when he comes storming in at the end because he's not going to bowl on Saturday or on Sunday. And Jesus doesn't care. Day of rest. Jesus doesn't care about the day of rest.
Yep.
Like, I'm watching this. You can't say that. What's going on?
I'm going to you up on Wednesday.
I was going to do it on Saturday, but I'm going to do it on Wednesday.
The response of the dude is just like, Jesus. He's like, you said it, man. No with the Jesus.
So good. Yeah. And his bowling partner, he just follows behind him and tries to walk off the same way with the same amount of whatever it is.
Swagger that he pizzazz. Tries. To, yeah. Yeah, bedazzlement.
So good.
Yeah, John Turturro is wonderful.
Man, his character, his role, I don't know how much he put into that.
Everything, I'd say.
I mean, he put a lot into it, but you know, in terms of designing that character,
yeah. Well, it was because it was such a quote unquote small character in the film. John Turturro was able to sort of bring as much as he could to it. The scene where he's in the background, like cleaning his ball, like he added that as a thing,
and his mate is doing it as well.
As well as the, I'd like to say, I used to bowl.
I was going to say something about.
All right, I was not.
Lee is a great bowler.
I'm an okay bowler. He's a great bowler.
I've seen him bowl.
I used to work in a bowling alley and I used to coach kids bowling and stuff. So I know a little bit. But yeah, that like cleaning the ball after your shot, that is a thing.
Do you do it like that?
Not with that. No, you'd have a little towel and you'd take the oil off it so that it wouldn't. It's a thing. It doesn't matter.
Man, there would be people all over the world now cleaning their balls like that. Cleaning their bowling balls.
You don't clean your balls like that.
Why not?
No, it's a
great way of doing it.
There's easier ways to do it.
That looks pretty simple. It gets a large surface area. You're using the weight of the ball itself, depending on the material of the rag.
There's a reason why you want to use a small cloth and not a big cloth, but we don't have time for that because this is not a.
Let's agree to disagree, Lee. What would you know?
I'll tell you after.
Maybe I'll use a size six.
No, that's too light. Size six? It's too small.
So I can do it though. I won't drop it. Then I'll pick another one up that won't be so light.
I know that your balls haven't dropped yet. So, so yeah, who is who in the film and all of the philosophy behind it is a very interesting story.
Can you believe the insolence of my offsider here? Unbelievable. I'm still reeling from that comment. He's trying to move on.
I did move on. I'm not trying. I did it very successfully. Thank you very much.
Unbelievable. Talk about low blows.
But no, there's a lot in this film that makes you think when it finishes, like, what am I doing with my life? Should I change religions?
I was left at the end of this film thinking, oh, this was a cool watch. And then when the stranger makes these biblical references to the dude being the dude for all us sinners, and you know, that one got me. I'm like, hang on a sec, what's going on? And wait, how did he know that there's a little Lebowski on the way? And how does he know? Why does he say the bit when Donnie died? Who is this guy?
Yep. So for me, I have my own theory, and I think that he's kind of like a guardian angel over the dude, which is which is why he's able to tell the story of this guy as it's happening.
Okay.
And yeah, he's just there to kind of look out for him and watch out for him and tell his story to us.
Is he a real person because he interacts with the guy at the bowling alley, the bartender,
sure,
whoever's behind the counter. Because I thought of that for a while.
Guardian angels can do that.
They can interact?
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. Really? Oh.
I don't care.
Wow. This is finishing the film, I was left thinking and reeling in my own inability to join the dots. Because I didn't know what the dots were.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, Jesus is there, but he's a pedophile.
So we...
he's not a pedophile. Is he called him pederast? He's a sex offender.
Yeah, registered sex
offender. Oh man, what a great scene where he has to walk door to door. Yes.
But no, I was telling Terrence, because he wasn't aware, that there is a religion that was founded after this film came out. Like an entire religion. And so for fun, I kind of went on the website, which is called Dudism. And I just read out the opening paragraph. They have some great artwork on here as well. But it was literally, come join the slowest growing religion in the world, Dudism. An ancient philosophy that preaches non-preachiness, practices as little as possible, and above all... Oh, I lost my train of thought there. Anyway, if you'd like to find peace on earth and goodwill, man, we'll help you get started right after a little nap. And they are a legit organization. They have over 600,000 priests worldwide.
Priests.
And yeah, so you can get ordained as a Dudist priest online by filling out a form. And it's just, that's too much fun.
Online?
Yep.
Does it say what you have to do?
I haven't clicked on it. I don't know.
I wouldn't imagine it'd be very hard.
Well, it should be the easiest form you ever fill out, I'd imagine.
I might like to put my hand up for that.
Yeah.
I wonder, I'm going to have a look at this.
We've got a convert.
I may be able to create some beautiful bounds of wedlock in the future as a priest of, what's the thing called?
Dudism.
I like it.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's known in Australia, if it's legal in Australia, but there's states in the United States where it is.
I've been there. I can work kind of retroactively on that, right?
Anybody can marry anyone in the United States.
I want maybe by the next episode, you'll be looking at a changed man.
That would be so funny.
Wow.
I wonder if you have to wear like a bathrobe.
Do they give you a certificate? Is there room for one here?
I'm not putting a certificate of dudism on my shelf.
I think here.
Oh my god. Hashtag what about when Terrence became a priest of dudism? That's funny. Would you like to move into our hashtag what about when's?
I'd like to take a break, have a little nap.
Alright, well I'm gonna finish off the rest of the thought. I'm gonna
This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Breaking news. in your own time. I don't mind. I think I know what my new drink. I've never bought a bottle of Kahlua ever in my life.
Kahlua's that's nice. This. That sounds horrible. Please don't do that.
Don't
do that, no.
We have found his nails down the chalkboard.
No, I wasn't looking at what it was when you did it, and it sounded like you were farting in your chair. So just think of that when
sorry, the listeners podcasters. At home.
Yeah.
I was turning the glass on it, the table.
That sounded very much like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, to me, it didn't.
No, it really
please,
did.
Please, all the YouTube people comment that's on the podcast app sort of thing. And say that was not what Lee said it was. Okay, I'm excited. I
just want to mention before we move into our hashtag what about Wens,
yeah,
that something really cool that I learned researching this one, and it was pretty much before every scene. Jeff, I keep Bridges. Wanting to say Lebowski. Bridges. Jeff Bridges would go up to the Coens and say, hey, before when the dude was on his way here, do you think that he lit up before he came? And if the answer was yes, he'd like sit in the corner and like rub his knuckles into his eyes until they became all bloodshot, and then he would do the scene.
Yeah.
I thought was a little bit of fun.
That's good. I want to also talk about not just, okay, we've talked about writing, but very briefly on the imagery, on the storytelling, not too much on storytelling, but there were some scenes here that I thought were just brilliant. Really, really nicely cut. The use of music was unbelievable. The music choices was great. We mentioned that before. But the edited sequences of like the bowling alley at the beginning.
Introducing us to the...
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Introducing us to their church.
The church is a bowling alley, yeah.
Oh, it's where they meet Jesus. I think that was so nicely done. I don't know who the editor was or who the DOP was on this, but the directing is just beautiful to have these pieces in the story.
Yeah.
Including all of the, what we call them, dream sequences. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever he gets knocked out or drugged. Just I think from when Maud's goons
hit him,
he gets knocked out, and there's an incredible transition to flying over the city, and he kind of sees stars or something, and the stars from the bowling alley, yeah, neon signs become the stars in the cityscape below. You know, they do some really nice transitions like that, and really nice editing technique with that kind of thing that doesn't take you away too much. Again, which we've mentioned before, a sign of a good editor is when you don't realize the editing is happening.
Yeah.
Another great piece of it was in the near the end, the sequence they use when the dude unravels the story. He's in the car with Walter and they're driving, and he goes through, this is what's happening. He's got no money. He put the book in the briefcase. We see that happening. It's happening in the car, and they're driving, and the street lights go past and then go into darkness. And when the darkness comes, they cut to his explaining of the scene where the Big Lebowski is putting this plot together. And then it's during a thunderstorm, it seems, because the Big Lebowski is in the house at night, and it goes dark and light with crashes of lightning. And then it cuts back to them in the car with the lights. You know, I just thought that was really smart, a very unique way of intercutting these two scenes.
That's Roger Deakins for you.
Beautiful.
Have I spoken about Roger Deakins maybe to you before?
Why don't you speak to us all about Roger Deakins briefly?
Oh, this is not a Roger Deakins episode.
No, it's not.
As good as he is, I will sing his praises,
yeah,
at some point in the probably very near future.
Have we already done something?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But no, I really want to talk about some of the work that he's done, because he is probably the best cinematographer that has ever lived.
Wow, okay, cool.
And he's worked with the Coen brothers a bunch. In fact, he did No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
The same year that he shot The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
Okay.
And he was nominated for Best Cinematographer for both of those in the same year. So he was against himself, and he still lost.
Lee, you can't say that at the end of it.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible. I think he's been nominated for like 11 Academy Awards.
So it's like
he won.
He rigged the local raffle with four other people where he had two entries and he still couldn't win it.
And he still didn't win it, yeah.
That sucks.
I don't even remember what won that year. It was probably something amazing.
That sucks. But that was really great. And all of the dream sequences, the beautiful, you know, the costumes and the color and the choreography of it all. Just when the dude is so out of character and he's dancing, hilarious, you know, just...
So those shots really cool. For future reference, when you're talking about things that are setting up sort of where our characters are going to be, establishing shots.
Yeah.
Really, like, good establishing shots are fantastic. Normally, it'll be like...
That's usually an exterior of a building or something.
Yeah, like, or you'll get a shot of a bridge going into the city and it's New York and they're boring. Like, there's so many more clever ways to do establishing shots and Roger Deakins knows how to do them cleverly in a way that you haven't really seen before. So that's an excellent example of that. Well done.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
Would you like to talk about What About When?
Yeah, we might as well.
Amazing.
Lots of funny bits in this film that we haven't really talked too much about.
But yeah, episode 32, The Big Lebowski, # What About When. The best way to contribute to this is Twitter or Instagram. We are at The Movie Cal. We have an email as well, themoviecal@gmail.com. Sorry. All of these can be found at our website, themoviecalendar.com, or down in the description below.
Mm-hmm.
Terrence, do you have any What About Whens for The Big Lebowski?
I do. I have some suggestions and I have my own. I know you have some suggestions as well.
Yes.
Some of the ones that are suggested are shared by us, but I'm going to read out what I have. We have long-time listener, few-time caller, our mate Tobias. He has given a few crackers.
All right.
I am going to look for them. Should I give them on top of each other?
Yep. Smash them out because I've got a letter to read.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me find... Okay. Here we go. What about when the dude takes the rug and says... He said I could take any rug I wanted.
I love that. It's so funny.
That's a great What About When. That's the off the cuff. Love him.
Learn a little bit about the dude in that scene as well.
Yes. Also an opportunist, but we'll take what is his if he deserves it. What about when the ashes fly into the dude's face? Donnie's ashes.
That's a great one. He just
stands there.
I've got that as a What About When.
So good. And then he also says, what about when the dude nails the board to the floor, jams the chair there, but the door opens from the other way?
I always thought that was such a cheap laugh. Like you said to me as well before we recorded, you're like, oh, that's like, I love that scene. It's so funny. And I was like, okay, like I get it. I can see why it's funny. Like expectation subversions are really good, but it was, yeah. It was good. I'll give it that.
Because he put so much effort and he spent so much time nailing.
All of the nails in there. And then he trips up. For me, the funniest one was when he got home after and forgot it was there and tripped over it in his own house. That was the funniest bit.
They don't even show it, do they?
No, they do. He turns around and looks at it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they show it? Okay. Yeah.
You don't see it when he trips.
No.
You just see him on the floor and then he turns around and then you see it. So that's nice.
That's good. Thanks, Tobias.
Lesser filmmakers would have like shown him tripping over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he walks inside and then trips over. It's wonderful. Any more?
Not from Tobias, no.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tobias. We really appreciate that. As always, keep them coming. I've got quite a few here that are sort of woven in between this really nice message that I got from a good friend of mine who, for this film, is his favorite movie of all time. So much so that he watches it every few months. He has given us a date for the movie calendar for this one, even though we have an exceptional... An exceptional honorable mention in our movie cal date placing for this one.
Yeah.
But if it's all right with you, I'd like to read some of this letter.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. he says, my love for this movie is clearly defined by the dedication that I have on my sleeve. So he's literally got tattoos on his arm that have reference to this movie. But I love it mostly because it is a 5-star film that you don't see coming. From the moment that Sam Elliott, who even though it's only a bit part, does an amazing job, introduces us to sometimes there's a man, sometimes there's a man. As you watch the dude write a check for a carton of milk for 69 cents, you know that this guy is just an absolute deadbeat. He just lives his life and enjoys the little things like bowling with his mates. All the dude wanted was his rug back, but in spite of his constant state of inebriation via White Russians and weed, he still figures out what's going on behind the scenes. Then he talks about how he's going to... He didn't want to write an essay, but he's ended up writing an essay. So he's going to give us some What About Whens and they slay me every time. Every single shut the f- up, Donnie.
Yeah, good.
I had to say that whole thing is just is too funny. I wholeheartedly agree. And he loves the fact that Steve Buscemi will go to like anti-Trump rallies and people have that sign up for against Donald Trump, and he goes and like takes pictures with them.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I love it. That's really fun. Cool. Timing as of recording this, very timely. The Jesus. And he was so good, John Turturro, that he has his own film, spin-off film, that was directed by him called...
I saw The Jesus Rolls.
The Jesus Rolls. Incredible. Nobody messes with The Jesus. Philip Seymour Hoffman, and then just a love heart emoji after that. I think that's all you need to say. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, Philip Seymour Hoffman. You were gone far too soon, and you're a treasure for cinema. Walter constantly referring to Vietnam, even though he never actually went.
Yeah.
Donnie dying, crying face emoji. John Goodman said that the first time he read the script, he was really concerned about how Walter was treating Donnie, but then when he got to the scattering of the ashes scene, he realized that Walter really loved Donnie. Dudism is my religion. Maud being the absolute epitome of 90s feminism. The handoff with the ringer and the nihilist with the ferret, all hysterical.
The handoff with the ringer,
yeah.
The whole car scene, and yeah, on the who's that? The driver,
yeah. Us. What do you mean us? Damn it, Walter, you've ruined it. So this movie was my happy place. Listen to the last bit. This movie was my happy place before the Marvel Cinematic Universe came along. I still watch it once every few months because it makes me laugh. And then he mentioned that he was listening to an episode of Us and had a good time. Can't wait to see me again.
That's so cool.
Thank you, Jay, for that. Jay. I really appreciate it. You're an absolute champion. I love you and thank you for your contributions.
Cool. And I might be joining the cloth. Is that what you say?
The robe.
The robe.
You might be donning the robe soon. So, reach out to Jay and he'll let you know how it works to become
a
dudist priest.
That'll be cool. I can't wait. Yeah. I'm so excited. I should temper my excitement though. And just be like, yeah, whatever.
So many incredible What About Wens in there. Did you want to jump on any?
Couple of little things. I do want to say, what about the opening shot over the grass? Starts in daylight, turns to nighttime in one traveling shot. So I don't know if it's just catching the sun, but I mean, obviously they've lit it, but you watch it and you think, hang on, wasn't it daytime a second ago?
Roger Deakins
again,
man.
Absolutely, definitely needed a mention there. That really got me. I've never heard the word gypped
in a
feature film.
Oh,
I've heard it a lot in Australianisms. We talk like that all the time.
Is it a Britishism
like
as well?
I don't know, but it's a word. I looked it up because I didn't know how to spell it, so I wrote it incorrectly, and then it gave me the right spelling. I'm like, oh, and then it gave me a dictionary.
When is it said?
Right at the beginning, and Sam Elliott says it.
Oh, yeah.
Where he talks about, I haven't seen London or France, and I haven't seen the Queen in her undies, but here's a story, and it's all in English, and at least it's in English, and I'll hear it. That way I know I haven't been gypped by the good Lord.
Yeah.
Something, something, something. But
yeah, true.
And again, another one, gypped by the good Lord, and wait, aren't you God? Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows?
So I love that. Obviously, you're not a golfer. I mean,
the hell is this?
you just want to hit that guy.
Yeah. Do I look like a married man? Do you see a ring on this finger? Holds up his right hand, by the way. The toilet seat's up, man.
He has no idea.
Yeah.
How he fishes his glasses out of the toilet to put them on.
Hey, isn't this dude supposed to be a millionaire? Sitting there with toilet water and milk all over his face in his bathrobe.
My God. The
iconic shot.
When he jumps out of the car during the handing over of the false, what's it called?
The ringer.
The ringer. And Walter rolls out of the car and you forget that he actually has an Uzi. And it starts firing. What the hell? He was serious.
Fun fact about that, just before we get too far away from it. The way that they shot that of the ringer being thrown out was they actually did it in reverse, and they had someone in the ravine throw the bag into the car while they were driving in reverse.
What?
Because it was easier.
That's much easier.
Well, it was easier to do that than apparently for because it was really hard to get it thrown out of the car, looking in a particular arc that they wanted it to go in. So they did it in reverse instead.
Just wow!
One of the cheats of the industry.
Seems like a bit of a long way in the industry.
Wow!
But fair enough. I get the dance when he walks into that dream sequence. Just walked in to see what condition my condition was. The Kenny Rogers song.
Incredible.
And brilliant. I would never guess that that's Kenny Rogers.
There's a few songs like that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know who they were.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a Rolling Stones song in here that...
Oh, yeah, it sounds like the country...
Yeah, it's like a country song. I had no idea until we looked it up. And I was like, I can't believe that this is the Rolling Stones.
It's... I just love all the music in it. When he's in bed with Maud after the not so immaculate conception, where she's asking what he's done, and he says a couple of things: roadie with Metallica, yeah, they're all assholes.
Yeah. they love that quote, by the way. They think it's hysterical. apparently they tried to figure out a way to get that scene like worked into some of their sets, like on stage, so that they could work it into their like
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, one of them just needs to be wearing a robe. That's it. And Flea is in this too. Nice. Flea does a couple of little cameos every now and then. But when he says, did you ever hear of the Seattle 7? Yeah, that was me. The long pause. And there were six other guys. I think that's classic. When he calls Walter in an emergency, and before Walter picks up, he's going, Walter, pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. This is an emergency. And this is his willing... And Walter picks up. He's like, what are you doing calling me on Shabbos? I don't pick up unless it's an emergency. Well, why did you pick up? Because I knew it was an emergency.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, there's some spiritual stuff going on there.
Wills it into existence.
Just really cool. The dude abides.
Iconic.
What an ending. And then...
Take comfort in that.
Yeah. Yes. That's it. I gotta say a couple of other things. Here we go. When he's in Jackie Treehorn's house and he sees Jackie take the call and write something on the pad. And he thinks he's so smart.
He's like, oh, I'm gonna
get
him. And
it's such a great idea, isn't it?
Yeah. With the pencil. It just shows the pornographic picture of the cartoon that he'd drawn. Hilarious.
What about when we see the girl with the cut off toe?
Oh, ouch.
That was great.
In the diner.
And here's my last what about when. What about when Terrence realizes oat soda means beer?
Yeah.
He gets two oat sodas.
Well, it does to the dude.
I'm gonna use that. I think I have to use that. I think that's going to be law that I use that if I do what I said I'm going to try to do.
Yeah. I want you to go to a bar and I want to be there and I want you to order an oat soda and see what they do.
Yeah, I'm going to do oat sodas. And then the next thing you'll see me go, it's a beer.
Just a beer. I just want a beer. It's the Big Lebowski. It doesn't matter. Subtitles.
You know, just give me, I'll take one of those. I'll just point.
Yeah, you should definitely do that. I'd love to see that.
I think that's it. I've got all of my things out that I wanted to.
There's going to be a bunch of stuff that we haven't mentioned. Apologies for leaving it on the floor. There's so much to talk about in this film.
But if you know some of these things, these big question marks, please put them in the comment. Let us know. Email us if you have theories.
I think you have to study the religion to get more out of it, I'd say.
Maybe I can enlighten you.
Eventually.
And I'm going to use lots of words now like that.
Okay, go for it. We're at the end of the episode.
Enlighten is one of them.
Before we finish, we are going to add the Big Lebowski to the movie calendar. Had you forgotten, Terrence?
Far out. I have the honorable mentions here.
All right, we'll flick through to the honorable mentions and then we'll add the film to the calendar. We have a date chosen by our good friend Jay.
Yes.
Who gave us some amazing What About Wens and a great letter.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
First honorable mention is the date that the dude writes on the check at the beginning for 69 cents.
Yeah.
The date is September 11.
Yep. Yeah, we thought about putting it on there for that. Yeah. A film is going to have to go on that date at some point.
Would have been a really good one to put it on.
This would have been a really great one for that date, I think. But alas, we already have a date, so we'll find another great piece of cinema for that day.
There is a better second honorable mention. So that was the first one. The next one is very, very Very relevant. March 6th was going to be the next date.
I love this date. Tell us why.
This is the sacred high holy day of dudism, the day of the dude. This is the actual day that's celebrated every year in the Church of Latter-day Dude.
That is so good. We only have one film in the month of March at the moment, and it's Guardians of the Galaxy. So that would have been fantastic.
It would have been that. It has to get mentioned because people need to know this.
Yep.
Unless they're going to join the robe.
I agree.
Get it? Join the cloth. Is that a thing? That's my second word on it.
I've lost the date.
But we have the date coming up.
Oh, here it is.
Your friendly Lieberhood Spider-Man.
Perfect. I've got it right here.
Lieberman.
Thank you.
I think that means something else.
Lieber, that's Stan Lee's actual real name.
Oh. What's the date?
The date that we have chosen for the Big Lebowski to appear on the movie calendar from now until the end of time is June 5th.
Wiley.
And the reason why we have chosen that date is because this is my good friend Jay's favorite film, and this day is on his birthday. So he would like to watch this film on his birthday every single year. So it was as easy as sending me a message. Send us an email to let us know what your favorite film is and where you would like it to appear on the calendar, just like Jay has. So just for you, my good friend, The Big Lebowski appears on June 5th. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this doesn't set a precedent of saying, oh, can you put this on my birthday? You have to have a great reason for it to be on your birthday as well.
Yep.
It might, like, if we don't have another day, maybe that's the best day to put it on. But this one had a couple of good dates.
Yep.
But there's a great reason to put it on Jay's birthday. Yep. He follows this religiously.
Classic.
He is tattooed.
He is tattooed with the Big Lebowski.
Is he tattooed with the dude?
No.
That would have been awesome.
Maybe. I don't know.
You got two sleeves, right, Jay?
We'll have to. I think there's something on the other one as well.
You can cover it.
But no, that's, yeah. So, and not every film that gets suggested will appear on the movie calendar, but we still like hearing them. So please let us know. We just love talking about films. So if you want to talk about films with us, please feel free to do so. Drop a comment down below if you like. If you haven't subscribed, do so. It's free and it helps us out, as well as leaving a like is also really nice as well. Do you have anything to add before we end the show, Terrence?
No, I want to think of a cool thing to say to finish it.
All right, we'll wait.
All right. I lost my train of thought.
Well, that's just like your opinion, man. Bye, everyone. I'm going to count down from 12.
Let it go so I can 11, dribble this in my beard. 10,
9, 8. Hello, everyone.
Welcome back. It's all of you.
Did you do that on purpose?